Welcome to this episode of Quick Tips for Dads. My name is Randy, and I'm very excited to be with you today as I discuss number 7 on the 9 Ways to Become a Better Father article from DailyDad.com. Don't have unfair expectations for your kids. I'm a dad, and I'm trying to be a better dad every day. So I hope what I share today and anytime I share can be of a benefit to you and to help you become a better father. Enjoy. Welcome to Quick Tips for Dads. As said in the intro, my name is Randy, and I'm a dad, and I just want to help everyone become better dads. I want to be a better dad, and I want to help you become a better dad. And that's why this 9 part series is so important to me, because I think it's 9 different things that we can do to be better fathers right now. Today is number 7 on the 9 Ways to Be a Better Father article from DailyDad.com. The link is in the description. This tip is don't have unfair expectations for your kids. And we kind of talked about this a little bit with meeting people where they were in I think it was the last episode, where we want to get to know our kids. And if we can meet them where they are, we can teach them better, we can understand them better. And if we can set our expectations properly for them, I think that'll help a lot of us have less resentment towards our kids for whatever reason we might have resentment towards them. So I'll just read to you what the article says, and we can chat about it. He says, "It's fair to expect your kids to be responsible, do their chores, try their best at school, and have respect for other kids and adults. After all, you want your kids to grow up into well-adjusted adults, not just because it will make you happy, but because it will help them succeed in life. But it's not fair to expect your kids to be something that you want them to be, or in order to fulfill your unfulfilled dreams of being a rock star, an athlete, or a world-class chess player. When your kids are young, let them try out different activities, karate, soccer, art class, ballet, whatever. Whatever they show an interest in, let them pursue it and celebrate it, and don't force them to do the rest." I thought this was really interesting. I think I've always thought this, and it's good. And my parents did a really good job, I think, at not forcing me to do certain things or pushing me into certain activities. Because they were just like, they thought, you know, you like what you like. You like, for me, it was, I gave up soccer for baseball and then eventually baseball for ice hockey. And I tried all the different sports. We did tennis classes, golf lessons, just anything that we wanted to try. My parents were willing to make it happen for us. And as I look back, I realized just how awesome that was. The very first hockey camp I ever went to, it was a week-long camp, and we didn't sleep over. I was like 11 or 12. I was 12 at the time. I had played hockey for one season, and we went to this hockey camp, and it was just sleep at your house and then go to the rink in the morning and be there all day and then go home at night. And you know, I really wasn't much of an athlete when I was that age. I played hockey, but I wasn't very good. And I had never spent time really working out. And my parents had spent a lot of money on this camp. And I got done with the first day and was wiped out and was unsure that I could push through it. I thought I should quit. I'm like, this is not for me. I had fallen on the bleachers, running up and down the bleachers. I hit my nose pretty hard, I scratched my nose, but I hit my face on the bleachers a little bit. And I just didn't know if I could do it. And to my mom's credit, she said, you know, I don't want you to quit, but if you can't do it, don't go back. Like, I will still love you no matter what. And there's a lot of life lessons that came from this moment in my life. It was kind of one of those life changers that I decided to go back, and I'm so glad that I did. And that's maybe a story for another time. But while I'm sure my mom expected me to take full advantage of this hockey camp that she had just paid, you know, a few hundred dollars for the week. I mean, mind you, this was 20 years ago almost. Actually, yeah, 20 years ago this summer. And she had paid $300-$400 for me to be there. And it was a big commitment and it was really hard. And she would have let me quit if I couldn't do it and do something else that I enjoyed more. And I'm grateful that I didn't quit because it taught me a lot of things, but this isn't about me. It's about my mom. My parents, neither of them had unfulfilled dreams of being a rock star athlete, world-class anything. They kind of did their own things. They had good careers and, I'm sure they had some regrets of things that they wish they could have done differently in life. And they tried to parent us to correct for some of those things. But they didn't have unfair expectations on us. They just wanted us to be the best versions of ourselves. For example, whenever we, did poorly in school, before they got upset with us, the first thing they would ask is, did you try your hardest? And if we had tried our hardest, they weren't upset with us. But unfortunately, the majority of the time, we had not tried our hardest. So we had some makeup work, some repenting to do, if you will, to get our grades back up. But it's interesting as I'm a father now and I think back on these times, I think what type of expectations I need to have for my kids. It's totally unfair to expect your kids to behave in a manner that's inconsistent with their age. For example, my son, he's almost two. He's not even 2 years old yet. He's pretty big for his age. He's in like the 99th percentile of his height and head size and all those things. So he's a big two-year-old, almost two-year-old, and he's talking really well in comparison to some other benchmarks, the minimum benchmarks that they want the kids to hit. And so that all of a sudden makes me have a little bit higher expectations for him and how he's going to behave and how he's going to act. And so then when he throws a tantrum at home because he didn't get his toy, because he didn't get what he wanted, I have to understand he still doesn't get it. He's still just a baby. I mean, he's a toddler, I guess, is what he's classified as now. But I can't have the expectation that he's going to understand everything I say because he just won't. And there were times when he was a newborn that he didn't understand it. I had expectations that maybe he would sleep or that he would, you know, do certain things. But I couldn't be disappointed if he didn't because he was fresh off, like he was brand new to the world, you know? I couldn't expect anything more or less than him. That's why we're so excited when he does hits a new benchmarker, because we don't expect unfair things from him. We try to recognize, okay, he's almost two. He's walking, he's running around, he's playing, he's trying to talk, he's learning how to talk, learning how to communicate, and it's wonderful, learning how to play, and it's awesome. So I hope that I can apply this to have reasonable expectations, to help him become the best him that he can be, become the best person that he can be, and that's really what our goal is we want to teach them all the things that they need and give them all the tools that they need to become the best versions of themselves that they can be. This article continues. They say, when your kids are older, you definitely won't be able to force them to do anything. Just show an interest in whatever they like, no matter how zany it may seem to you. Hold them to reasonable standards, such as doing their homework, their chores, and being respectful, but don't harbor inner resentment for them for not living your dreams. And this inner resentment phrase in here caught my attention when I read this the first time, because how often do we have expectations of friends, of family, of our kids, and they're not necessarily fair, and then we don't voice those expectations, and then our expectations are not met, and we're disappointed or we're resentful. I mean, I'll give you an example. We have some family members that they don't really tell us what their expectations are. And then when those expectations are not met, they're upset and they harbor resentment. For example, somebody says, "Hey, yeah, I'll babysit for you." And then the person that says, "Yeah, I'll come babysit for us," tells the other person that it's okay, we don't need you anymore. And so the one that offered to babysit says, "Okay, cool, I'm going to go make plans." And then the person that needed the babysitter says, "Oh, actually, we do need a babysitter." And now they can't. And there's resentment there because nobody expressed their actual feelings. Nobody expressed what they were actually hoping to have happen at that moment. And they have inner resentment towards each other. And I think it's silly and it's unfortunate, but it happens. And the same thing applies to our kids. If you expect your child to be a straight A student and you never tell that child that that's your expectation, you have no right to be disappointed when they get a B, or heaven forbid they get a C, or they really struggle with a subject and they fail a class. It's really hard for that kid. I think in high school I got one C, maybe C or D, I can't remember what it was, and it was in band because I didn't practice because I hated the teacher. And my parents knew the situation, and they really didn't get upset with me because they knew the situation and they didn't have unrealistic expectations for me and this band class that I hated. Even, you know, when we lost a game, my dad coached a lot of my baseball teams, and all his expectations were of me was to be respectful to the umpires, to play my hardest, and to try and be a leader on the team. But he talked to me about some of those. And if we lost and I tried my best, they were there to support me. They didn't have any resentment that I lost the game, some dumb city league game in the middle of Utah. Like, nobody that is in all reality inconsequential in the grand scheme of things. And I think this is a good segue into thinking about just what is of consequence when our expectations are left unmet. Does it matter that your kid is not going to be the next LeBron James or the next Mike Trout or, you know, whoever it might be? Who cares? Are they a good person? Are they making a good influence around them? Like, those are fair expectations, I think, that your kid is being a decent human being to the people around him. But it's not fair to expect them to do something that they can't, especially if it's not within their age range. I spent a lot of time earlier in my life teaching skiing to four-year-olds. Now, the expectation when you teach a four-year-old how to ski is that you're essentially herding cats, and the only way to get them to come to you is to have a treat. Now, obviously, we didn't bribe them with too many treats because, you know, everyone parents differently and they have different dietary restrictions, and we just didn't want to deal with that. But my expectations were reasonable because they were four-year-olds. We expect them to be wild and to have short attention spans sometimes. And then when they did what they needed to, we were ecstatic and we were so happy. So that maybe that's a lesson that we can learn is, you know, look at their age, look at who they are. Who do you expect them to be? Don't expect a five-year-old to have the capacity of a 16-year-old. And by the same token, don't expect a 16-year-old to act like a 21-year-old because they just don't have that life experience yet. And that's an appropriate way to set expectations. So I really liked today's tip. And I think it's an important reminder for all of us to have appropriate expectations. I don't think you have to have no expectations, because having no expectations just sets you up for a world of disappointment, a very dismal reality if you expect failure at every turn. But expecting success at every turn also has its own issues. And every time you fail, which if you're learning a new skill is way more often than not, you're going to have just as much disappointment. So we have to balance it. We have to have an understanding of, I might fail a few times, but eventually I will get it. And we have to have that same expectations for our kids, is they might not do it perfectly the first and second, third, fourth, fifth times, but eventually they will get it. And we can expect them to do certain things, obviously, like, you know, their level of schoolwork, being respectful to the best of their understanding, trying to be good human beings that are kind and relatively well adjusted, because I think everybody needs adjustment at some point in their lives. But having expectations isn't bad. Just make sure they're fair, and so that you don't drive a wedge between your kids, you don't push them away, and so that there's no resentment between you and your kids because they didn't meet some unrealistic expectation that you had for them. So I hope that this can add some value to somebody's life somewhere out there. And if it does, please like, subscribe, and share, and we'll talk to you all next time. Peace. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Quick Tips for Dads. I hope that you can find value in what I'm learning and what I'm trying to teach, because I find so much value in what this information can bring to my life. It makes me think of ways that I can be a better dad every day. If you find value with this, please like the podcast, subscribe, share it with somebody that you think might benefit from it. Like us on Facebook, on Instagram. I try and post uplifting content there as well. And we will talk to you all next time. Thanks.